This is a reading of the appendices of the book First Steps in Christian Religious Renewal. The first one is the promotional piece organized with facsimiles of the rough draft of the promotional piece in the handwriting of Gottfried Husemann and corrections by Rudolf Steiner. A Way to the Necessary Renewal of Religion. The form in which religious life is lived today is not such that it could express what underlies contemporary humanity's religious will. Human beings could unite in their most sacred feelings if they could let these feelings live in community. But the antiquated form of religious life prevents this from happening. This is why we do not have religious community, but rather religious parties. Religion can thrive, however, only in community. Today, from the most varied perspectives, attention is repeatedly drawn to the connection of these facts with the dreadful social upheavals of our time, and the healing of our circumstances is often thought to depend on a renewal of religious life. In order to bring this about, we must contemplate how we came to such a fragmentation and hollowing out of the religious realm. We can follow, first of all, how over the past 400 years, intellectualism, as the youngest of the human soul forces, underwent an impressive development, on the one hand, producing in a beneficial way a new culture through technology and industry. We can see how it wants to make the individual independent and free. On the other hand, we can also follow how, in a dangerous way, it took the place of the old religious practices, based on ritual and symbolism, with the result that since the Reformation a sermon and doctrine-oriented church arose. The process of fragmentation, which began with the separation of Protestantism from Catholicism, continues to intensify, but the facts of the course of evolution show that if we want to take seriously the demand of our age for freedom of personal conviction, we cannot found community on creed and doctrinal content. Anything about which opinions are possible must lead to the individualizing and atomizing of community. But only a united community builds a basis for religion. Any attempt at renewal, insofar as it proceeds from differences in doctrine and opinion, leads to the expansion of sectarianism. The development of the intellectual forces led to the concept of causality, which is justified in the sense world, being extended to the whole of reality. Because of this development, the existence of a supra-sensible, divine spiritual world became an impossibility, and religion appears to be an illusion. The more the knowledge of the universe was built simply on mere natural scientific ideas, the less room remained for any of the religious riches that were handed down. The reality and meaning of the symbolism that sprang from old philosophical forces was no longer recognized. Doctrine and the need for information stepped to the forefront. This whole relationship is not yet grasped by enough people today. Yet understanding of precisely this is necessary for a healing of our cultural life. The destiny of the will to rejuvenate religion, which appears everywhere today, depends on whether people, while preserving their personal freedom in relation to philosophical questions and the doctrine of the Church, can find their way back to living in pictures, images, and symbols. We must find a way of knowing that can penetrate into the supra-sensible realm, where concepts form themselves into pictures, which can form the foundation of a unifying ritual, and where the causality of the sense world no longer is valid or effective. Today we can develop a way of knowing of this kind, and here we may point to anthroposophical spiritual science, without immediately wanting to find or base a dogma in or on it. Out of knowledge gained in this way, a ritual can be formed once more that provides the form of religious life appropriate for our age, one that will lead human beings in the experience of their most sacred feelings to unity, and lets the creeds seem unimportant. We must solve our social and cultural problems, but only those people will be able to do so who, beyond their imaginative life and their ideals, can summon the substance of their will to create and sacrifice. A number of people are now courageously prepared to tread the path of religious renewal that presents itself. Because a craving for schematizing and bureaucracy still interferes today with spiritual life and the free use of spiritual forces, and because the religious communities relate to one another like economic competitors, the work that must be done for the benefit of humanity before it is too late is made unbelievably difficult. If there is freedom in this realm, the necessary work in the economic field will also have to be done. This is how much this corresponds to the deepest, most burning need of our fellow human beings. Because we want first to create freedom, we must turn with a request for help and collaboration with regard to financial needs to those people who deem a renewal of religion to be necessary, and to whom our way appears to be what will lead to the overcoming of the difficulty. And that is the end of the small brochure, A Way to the Necessary Renewal of Religion. The next piece is a chronological overview of the origin of the course in this volume, as well as further courses that Rudolf Steiner held for the Movement for Religious Renewal. February 7, 1920, the 21-year-old philosophy student Werner Klein came to Dornach with his friends Martin and Elizabeth Borchardt. The three friends listened to Rudolf Steiner's evening lecture titled What is Needed in These Urgent Times, CW 196. Afterward, Werner Klein asked Rudolf Steiner for a personal conversation. This took place the following day. February 8, 1920. Conversation of Werner Klein with Rudolf Steiner. In the course of the conversation, Klein asked the question, quote, "Has the time come to prepare the way for a third Christianity, the Johannine Christianity?" Close quote. Klein reports about his meeting with Rudolf Steiner in his book titled Leben wofür, Life Why, Hamburg, 1979. Quote, "In the evening we heard his lecture in the Schreinerei, carpentry shop, as the building was a large room set aside for this event. The talk consisted, to an amazing extent, of a tirade against his fellow followers." Parenthesis at the end of the lecture, February 8, 1920. CW 196, close parenthesis. "The address, as surprising as it was, did me a lot of good, as one can easily imagine. After the lecture, I gathered my courage and approached the almost delicate-looking man with dark eyes. He had already noticed me. I made a short military bow. At the same time, I asked for a conversation. It was granted to me the next day." The conversation took place in front of a huge, powerful wooden sculpture in the workshop. It was that figure upon which Rudolf Steiner sculpted until the last days of his life. The conversation began with general discussions about the Middle Ages and the Crusades. When the moment came to bring my questions, I began by saying that they concerned a theme which, in the light of his views, he would most likely have to reject, but I still wanted to pose the questions in order, perhaps, to hear his opinion. I said, "In my philosophical studies, I have become acquainted with the German idealistic thinker Schelling. He differentiated between Petrine, Pauline, and Johannine Christianity. He saw in them stages and paths of the one spirit moving within the Christian realms. Petrine Christianity evidently appeared in Rome, not least through the power of the keys and the judgment sword of this church. The Pauline Christianity, in its rejection of justification through deeds, and its conviction that only belief in the merciful grace of God can justify us, is just as transparent as the stigma of the Protestant Church. Also, it, as the second possible Christianity, seems to me to be outdated and set aside by history. Question: has the time come to prepare the way for a third Christianity, the Johannine Christianity? I see this Christianity essentially as a call for the maturity of the human spirit and its essential identity with the eternal. We are called to the power of the Spirit springing from within ourselves, God is spirit, and those who worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. He is no longer to be worshipped only in Jerusalem, or at some other preferential place, or in the buried forms of the fathers. From this comes the task not to wipe out Christianity, but quite the opposite, to increase and intensify it, and to read its documents in a new way. With this, Christianity began in a certain sense for the first time. End of my subquote, and he continues his quote. Rudolf Steiner listened attentively. Then he straightened and spoke with a thoughtful, clear voice. Steiner's quote, "If you want to do this and find the necessary forms for it, the forms let themselves be found, this then signifies something great for humanity." End of Steiner's quote. That was it. It was spoken. After a pause, as if returning to daily life in a somewhat more lively fashion, he added, quote, "You were right when you said that I cannot do that. My task is a different one. I have to bring spiritual science and speak to human beings out of it. I must remain with that. What you see is great and necessary, but you must do it yourself." End of Steiner quote. And Klein's quote continued, "The words went through me like a stroke of joy. He saw the historical religious task and affirmed it. It was the most that I could expect, although right here a seed of misunderstanding may have lain. Quote, the forms let themselves be found." Close quote. On this February morning, a kind of gentleman's agreement was made between the leader of spiritual science and me. I had his consent. Also, about the name of Johannine Christianity, there was no doubt. Some people will wonder why I stress this so much, but it has to do with the life task I have set for myself. It concerned John and the John element. It was a matter of a third stage of Christianity. It was left to me, because it was not Rudolf Steiner's task. I saw my life's path before me. There was enough to study and contemplate. Much was to be entrusted to the ideas occurring in the spirit in its further development. It seemed to me at that time that in approximately 40 years' time, the ideas and recommendations would be ready for me to make them public. And that's the end of the quote. On February 8, 1920, a theology student in Basel, Gertrude Spröri, posed the following question to Rudolf Steiner. Quote, "Is there a possibility for anthroposophy to work within the church?" Close quote. From a letter by Gertrude Spröri to Marie Steiner on January 3, 1930. Concerning her conversation with Rudolf Steiner, Gertrude Spröri reported, quote, "In April of the same year, 1920, I asked Rudolf Steiner for a conversation. I had completed my maturation exams and was enrolled to study theology in Basel. Dr. Steiner received me in front of the Christ sculpture. I told him that my goal was to study theology, in order later to serve anthroposophy. When possible, within the church, but if not, then outside of it. Rudolf Steiner then said, quote, it would be quite possible to achieve something within the church if a large number of young theologians attain pastoral positions. Close quote. In those days, the first architect's course, March 21st, April 9th, 1920, was taking place. Dr. Steiner spoke of the possibility of a similar course for young theologians. Quote, in such a course, one could speak with the young people in a much more intimate manner than is possible as yet with the doctors. Close quote. And close Spröri quote. April 1920 to March 1921. Both Werner Klein and Gertrude Spröri evidently considered their respective conversations with Rudolf Steiner as a private concern. Neither of them spoke of them even once with their close friends. This changed only the following year. April 3rd through the 10th, 1921. In Dornach, two college courses took place, titled The Fourth Dimension, which is Collected Works 76. Werner Klein and Gertrude Spröri met one another during this course. Report of Werner Klein, quoted according to Hans Werner Schröder in Die Christengemeinschaft, Entstehung, Entwicklung, Zielsetzung, The Christian Community, Origin, Development, Goal, Stuttgart 1990, quote, in the college course at Easter 1921 at the Goetheanum, I met Miss Spröri. She was a theologian. I poured out on her my whole bottled-up feelings concerning this study. I wanted to know what she actually wanted and hoped for. She felt pressed to defend her position, and brought a statement from Rudolf Steiner. He had said to her that, concerning religious questions about the future, a course could be held with a yet more intimate character than was the case, for instance, with the doctors. Close quote of Schroeder. April through May of 1921. Gertrude Spöri and Werner Klein decided to look for other like-minded people to join them in asking Rudolf Steiner for a course. Week of Whitsun, 1921. In Stuttgart, interested students from Marburg, Berlin, and Tübingen met together and worked on the content of a community letter to Rudolf Steiner. May 1921. The following letter was written and given to Rudolf Steiner. The quote from Rudolf Steiner was taken from the lecture of February 20, 1917, entitled Building Stones for an Understanding of the Mystery of Golgotha, Collected Works 175. Quote, and here's the letter, "We are convinced that humanity today wants to attain spiritual development. Because of this, and because the living practice, quote, because, quote, the living practice of religion within human community enkindles spiritual consciousness, close Steiner quote, we, the undersigned students, see a direction for activity that perhaps will have to be taken up out of the anthroposophical movement. We are reticent about the idea of a priesthood, as it is connected with what has existed so far in the Church. It is a question for us as to whether something similar or something different must take its place, because we believe that all further questions about religious practice and work can be posed correctly only after this first question has been answered. We ask you to address this question. From the answer, the individuals listed below will be able to decide if they can fulfill the tasks needed. Stuttgart, May 22, 1921, and here are the undersigned names. Werner Klein, student of philosophy. Gertrude Spöri, student of theology. Ludwig Köhler, student of theology. Gottfried Husemann, student of chemistry, earlier theology. Quote, those who have declared themselves of like mind are, and here they are, Robert Spöri, theological candidate, Zurich, Wilhelm Klormann, theological candidate, Mannheim, Ludwig Nonnemacher, theological student, Mannheim, Walter Gradenwitz, theological student, Wiesbaden, Martin Borchert, theological and philosophy student, Marburg, Rudolf Meyer, Hamburg, Richard Gitze, theological student, Berlin, Otto Franke, theological student, Berlin, Horst Münzer, theological and philosophy student, Berlin, Emil Bock, theological candidate, Charlottenburg, Eberhard Kuras, theological candidate, Zalek in Thuringen, Ernst Umlauf, student of philosophy, Breslau, Otto Becher, house teacher, Holzmindening. Some signatures are missing. That's the end of that. And then May of 1921. In a conversation with Werner Klein and Gertrude Spöri, Rudolf Steiner agreed to do a course in the middle of June. June 12th through the 16th, 1921. The course presented in this volume was held. Participants, 18 students and 5 teachers, who gave free religious instruction in the Waldorf School. See the participant list later in this volume. June through September 1921. More people interested in a second course on religious renewal were found, increasing the size of the group. September 26th through October 10th, 1921. In Dornach, a course was held for theologians, with over 100 participants present. In 29 lectures and discussion periods, Rudolf Steiner spoke about the way spirit knowledge can be brought into religious work and gave the first texts for forming a new ritual. August 2nd, 1922. In Dornach, a meeting was held at which Pastor Dr. Friedrich Rittelmeier, Pastor Dr. Christian Geyer, and Litzent Emil Bock gave an orientation to those present concerning the upcoming founding of the Movement for Religious Renewal, planned for the following month. Rudolf Steiner gave a short talk. See Beiträge zur Rudolf Steiner Gesamtausgabe, Contributions to Rudolf Steiner's Collected Works, number 110, titled The Spiritual Hierarchies and Their Reflection in the Physical World, Zodiac, Planets, and Cosmos. September 1922. 45 people, among them was the Protestant pastor Dr. Friedrich Rittelmeier, went to Dornach to found the movement for religious renewal. Rittlemyer decided to become a co-worker and to take on the leadership conferred on him. In accordance with an earlier suggestion from Rudolf Steiner, the movement for religious renewal was named the Christian Community. Rudolf Steiner accompanied the founding of the Christian Community with lectures, question and answer sessions, and an introduction to the new ritual. July 11 through the 14th, 1923. Rudolf Steiner held four lectures in Stuttgart for the priests of the Christian Community. September 1924. Among the last lectures that Rudolf Steiner gave in his life were a course for priests of the Christian Community on the Apocalypse of John, Book of Revelation. 18 lectures in Dornach, September 5th through the 22nd, 1924, Collected Works 346, and a course for doctors and priests on pastoral medicine, entitled Now Broken Vessels, 11 lectures, September 8th through the 18th, 1924, Collected Works 318. The list of the participants of the course held in Stuttgart, June 12th through the 16th, 1921. Otto Becher, 1891 to 1954, teacher. Emil Bach, 1895 to 1959, theology candidate. Martin Borchardt, 1894 to 1971, student of philosophy and theology. Wilhelm Klormann, 1889 to 1976, theology candidate. Otto Franke, 1897 to 1956, student of theology. Rudolf Frieling, 1901 to 1986, student of theology. Fritz Gewandke, 1902? Richard Gitzke, 1896 to 1989, student of theology. Walter Gradenwitz, 1898 to 1960, student of theology. Gottfried Husemann, 1900 to 1972, student of chemistry. Thomas Kendler, 1901 to 1957, student of theology. Werner Klein, 1898 to 1984, student of philosophy. Ludwig Köhler, 1900 to 1985, student of theology. Eberhard Koras, 1897 to 1981, theology candidate. Rudolf Meyer, 1896 to 1985, theology candidate. Ludwig Nonnenmacher, 1897 to ? Student of theology. Gertrude Spurri, 1894 to 1968, student of theology. Ernst Umlauf, 1896 to ? Student of philosophy. At Rudolf Steiner's request, Marie Steiner and from the Waldorf School, those teachers who gave the free religious instruction were Ernst Uhle, 1875 to 1959, 7th class, Herbert Hahn, 1890 to 1970, classes 3A, 3B, 4A, 4B, 6, 9, and 10, and Leonie von Mirbach, 1890 to 1973, classes 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. Wilhelm Rutenberg, 1888 to 1954, classes 5A, 5B, and 8. Paul Baumann, 1887 to 1964, music arrangements for the services and later free religious instruction. And toward the end of the course, Hermann Heisler, 1876 to 1962, Protestant pastor. These individuals, and then the ones that had, and I didn't give them, but the ones that had asterisks by them became priests of the Christian Community. That's about 85-90% of them. And that is the end of the book, The Preparing the Ground for the Christian Community, First Steps in Christian Religious Renewal by Rudolf Steiner.